If you would, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 14. I'm going to run through about four verses here, and then I'm going to run through about 12 more. Okay? Luke, chapter 14, verse 26, where we're going to be. I believe God's laid on my heart a sermon series. I like sermon series, Michael, because that way I don't have to worry all week about what I'm going to preach the next Sunday. I just preach the next one in the series. That may sound easy to you, but I don't just go around looking for easy ways to get out of preaching. Okay? I get to thinking every now and then what it is that I'm doing up here and what it is you're doing sitting down there. And I don't know if you've ever asked that question, Lord, what are we doing here? Okay? And who are these people? Why are they all staring at me? But it's a serious thing. When we come into God's house, it's a serious thing because what happens today is going to have a lot to do with what's going to happen to you tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. How many of you believe that? It's going to have a big impact on the rest of your life. And I believe God's given me a sermon series to preach. And the sermon series is called the Bethel Sermon Series. The Bethel Church Sermon Series. We got our camera on. Harmon's going to take this message and put it on sermon audio, and it'll be on our website, and people will watch it. And if it helps them, that's great. But I'm not preaching to everybody out in the world. I'm preaching to Bethel Church. Okay? I'm your pastor, but I'm your brother, and I'm your friend, and I'm your equal. Okay? And I guarantee you, what I preach, I guarantee you, if God deals with you, it's because he's dealt with me first. Okay? And I was talking in Sunday school. I had a conversation with somebody this week. Man, I had a hard time convincing them that the Bible was final authority. Man, I did. I had a hard time, and I still don't think they got it. Okay? And this same person kind of gives me the impression that they kind of feel like they're elevated. That's probably why they don't believe the Bible is a final authority. And so I don't suppose to be better than anybody today. I don't suppose to be any different than you are. What your struggles are, I guarantee you, part of my problems and my struggles. And every now and then God wakes us up, and that's what I want to do. I want to awaken you to the Word of God this morning. But anyway, this is part one of the Bethel Sermon Series. Now, I think I already have part two worked out for next Sunday. And if there's going to be a part three, then I'll just let the Lord give it if he wants to. But this is for us, and this is for, you're the ones that are here this morning, all right? You're the ones that are here. And so anyway, Luke chapter 14, verse 26, you there, say amen. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my what? My disciple. And I want you to think about that word disciple and think about what it means. Now, the original Greek, okay, which I very seldom ever use, but it just simply, the word simply means a student, okay, a student. Now, you and I both know, in fact, let me just say this, okay. Let's say that I was with Bradley, and we were talking one day, and somebody comes up. And they said, Pastor Mike, this is so-and-so, and I went to high school with them, okay? And I shake his hand and meet him, and they knew him, and he knew them, and this and that and the other, and the guy walks off, okay? Am I to automatically assume now that this person that they went to high school with, am I to automatically assume that they did as good in school as maybe these two did? Just because a kid graduates high school, that don't mean flip anymore, does it? You and I both know that the system gets tired of some of these kids and just pushes them on through, and there they are. And they're out with a high school diploma. That does not mean that in today's world, sadly to say, that does not mean that they're equals, that they're everybody else that went to high school at that same time and sat in the same classes. Okay? Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And the same is true in the church. Just because you call yourself a student of Jesus Christ, that does not mean that you're making all A's in the class. It doesn't. We run a school out of here for about 14 years. In the last few years of that deal, I was able, because of the system we had, Sharon, Lisa, and Rose, they can tell you this, I was able, because of the system that we had, to tell you that there were two different types of students in that room. They was all learning out of the same paces. Some of them would be categorized maybe even in the same grade. They were different levels of student. There were students that actually cared and students that didn't. So the first thing I'm going to ask you this morning is, are you one of those disciples of Jesus that actually cares or you don't? Okay? You don't care. And I'll say this. We had them categorized. And God showed me this. We had them categorized here. And I called them New Testament students and Old Testament students. Does that ring a bell? The New Testament students, because we had a system that rewarded and blessed personal responsibility. We had a system there set up that students come in, they assigned their own work throughout the day. Now there was, and that says, oh man, you can't do that. You can with some of them. We had a young lady sitting here, she did not go to this church, but we all know her, name's Tracy. She was without a doubt the best student we've ever had in this school. And I'm not saying anything about any of the rest of them. We had good ones, but she was without a doubt the best one. She came in here, and I want to tell you, the amount of work that she put out, the time that she was here, just blew everybody away. I mean, we could not get over this young lady. She had been homeschooled, which I think has a lot to do with it. But she's just a young lady of good character. And she come in here, she did more than was what was expected of her every day. We never got in trouble one time. Never gave her a demand. I mean, pushed her chair in, had her desk clean. I mean, everything that we had written down that she was supposed to do, we did not have to make her do one thing when she come in here. Do you know why? Because she had discipline. The word disciple is related to the word discipline. And I know her mom and daddy. She was not perfect. I know her mom and daddy well enough, though. They were good parents, good people. And if she ever got a line, guess what mom and daddy did? They disciplined her like the Bible says you're supposed to. They didn't do it out of hate or meanness or child abuse. They did it out of love, and the evidence was in her life when she was here. Okay, that was the evidence. We had students in this school that we called Old Testament school, Old Testament students. You know what they were? They didn't give a flip about their work. They were being forced into this situation because they had to be, because mama made them come over here. They didn't like schoolwork. They didn't like rules. They didn't like anything that we, and so you know what, and it took a little process for us to figure out who they were. But once they got here, once we figured them out, you know what it was? They were under every rule that we had, and they hated it. They hated being under, and I would enforce every single rule with them. You know why? Because they would not discipline themselves. Now, you just pass judgment on yourself. Are you somebody, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, are you someone that has to be made to do everything that you're supposed to do as a Christian? Or do you just have it in your heart that says, you know what? I just want to serve the Lord and this is the way I'm going to do it. You see, we're supposed to grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I did childish things. Okay. By the way, we didn't allow gum chewing in our school. I'm just kidding, okay? Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I did childish things. Now that I'm a man, I put away childishness out of my life. Okay? He put that away. You did not, nobody had to get up on Sunday morning. Paul, time to go to church now. Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. You're supposed to preach this morning. Nobody made Paul do that. God put a calling in that man's life, And he went to Jesus Bible College for about 14 years and heard from the master himself, got all his doctrine straight and everything like that. And I want to tell you what, when God said, "Now, Paul, I want you to go to Corinth," Paul said, "Let's pack it up, boys, we're going to Corinth." And Paul was leading the charge. Paul was in the church house early that morning, praying for the service and doing whatever it took, because he had self-discipline in his life. He didn't need somebody to tell him what to do all the time. And by the way, you know how we are. When somebody's standing around us telling us what to do all the time, how does that make us? "Oh, I'm so glad I have that." How do we get, Joe? We don't like it. And we despise whoever's doing it. So you've got a choice, okay? You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You want to make good grades in his class, be a student of Jesus Christ, then learn to discipline yourself. And if you don't, God loves you enough. Paul said in Galatians, the law is the schoolmaster. Now, he didn't mean that in today's sense. He meant that in the days that some of you were aware of, in a school setting where if you broke a rule, there was a teacher or a principal there that would warp your backside. Okay? And what has happened? How has our schools been a blessing now since they've gotten away with that, gotten away from that in our schools? Okay? So I'm telling you, God loves you enough to where if you will not discipline yourself, God will do it for you. And if you need God to chasten you about every other day, then God will do it. God will be happy to do it, because he'll know that it'll bring you to righteousness. And then he says in his word, you know, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise that. Know and realize and understand that God is doing you a favor. When you won't discipline yourself, he will discipline for God. When you won't pray, God will force you to pray. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you will not read your Bible, God will force you to read your Bible. When you will not witness, God's either going to force you into a situation where you're going to have to testify for Jesus Christ or deliberately lie about it like Peter did. Okay? So that's what a disciple is. A disciple has disciplines in their life. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. A disciplined life is a humbling life. It is a life when you go, who in here has been in the military? Joe, you've been in? Roy, you've been in the military. When you show up for boot camp, you don't own the army. The army owns you. And they don't care that you are used to getting up at 7 in the morning. And they don't care that you're used to having your bed made for you. And they don't care that you're used to having breakfast sit out on the table for you with your toast already buttered. They don't care. And so a disciplined life is a life of denial. And that's what I'm eventually going to preach on this morning, if I get to it. Sad to say, we live in a country that does not give much allowance for self-denial. We live in a country that accepts and overwhelms people with self-indulgence. That's the kind of country we live in. It's the kind of society we live in. A society in this country right now is not geared towards self-denial, although it started out that way. How many of you know that historically? Your granddaddy and your grandma in this country had to fight and work and slave for everything that they had. But now it's got it for free just about. I saw a commercial on TV the other day. I flipped out. I didn't know, but apparently, and there's a company advertising, apparently they operate as an agent for this, that if you fall into the government category of poverty, which is not real poverty, but if you fall in the government category of poverty, did you know that the government will buy you a cell phone and pay your bill for you? And I'm just telling you that we live in a situation in this country where we are not self-deniers. And even in the church, and it's evident, and it's manifest in the church setting when churches will have a $5 million budget for a new building with all the lights, bells, whistles, fog machines, slides for the kids, indoor arenas, I mean everything for the kids. That's not self-denial. That is not the life of Christ. So he said, if any man hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Self-denial is key to being an A-plus student of Jesus Christ. Learn that. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his what? The cross is a symbol of sacrifice, a symbol of death. It's a symbol of, I don't like this. That's what the cross is. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, you took the class, but you got an F. And I don't care how many high school diplomas they hand out to undeserving students, an F means fail. You do not fulfill the course requirements, and so therefore you do not get the grade. You do not pass. You cannot be his disciple. Now take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 14. Oh, verse 33. That's where I meant to, okay. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all, forsaketh not how much? All that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's forsaking everything, because name for me what you're going to take with you into the kingdom of God. Name it. Name it. Nothing. Nothing. And I want to tell you what your problem, I want to tell you what's keeping you from praying, and I want to tell you what's keeping you from studying your Bible, and I want to tell you what's keeping you out of church. It's something. See how simple that is? There's something keeping you out of the house of God. There's, and you know, by the way, when you go to school, does Jeffco have attendance requirements? What happens if you don't attend? And if you don't attend all semester, what do they do? Can you pass the class and not show up? How many believe that's right to do? Can you keep your job calling in sick every other day? Some of you ain't going to like this. Listen, you know as much as everybody, I love to preach grace. Amen? I'm a grace preacher. I'm a graceful preacher. But I want to tell you something. There is a constant balance in our life between law and grace. And anybody tells you it's not, they're wrong. Why does God give us two testaments out of the Bible? So that we could see how our life is affected by both law and grace. And I want to tell you something. In every situation in life, if someone asks you to show up for something, there is an expectation that you're going to actually show up. If you make a doctor's appointment and then don't go to the doctor's appointment, what do they have a right to do? They'll bill you for it anyway. And if you keep making appointments and don't show up, what do they have the right to do? Cut you out. They don't have to take you as a patient. We have that in doctor's appointments. We have that in dentist appointments. We have that if you're making an appointment with a real estate lady. It doesn't matter. If people call Jan and say, I want to get my taxes done tomorrow, I'll show up there at 9:30, and they don't show up. They say, well, now I'll call back next day. I'll show up at 12:30. They don't show up. And finally, after about six or seven times, Jan, what are you going to say? I ain't waiting on you. We got to go home. We have lives outside of the tax office. Okay? And what I'm telling you is, I'm telling you out of love, because I'm your pastor. And listen, we want to be A-plus students in the Lord's classroom. Amen? We'll make the grade. Are there attendance requirements for this class? You say that's not biblical? Yes, it is. Let's hear it. No, let's hear the verse. Where is it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of... And you guys that went to class know the bums that didn't show up for class. Right, Michael? Okay? So anyway, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, guys. I love you. Anyway, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And the truth of it is, we bail out of church because something bailed us out of church. Something. Okay? We didn't read our Bible because something took that time. Our eyes were fixed on something during that time that we, something that we should have forsaken and we didn't. Okay? Study to show thyself what? That's an A-plus student. It's a student that will study the Word of God. Well, I'm telling you what, God's filling in the blanks on this sermon already. Okay? I was going to spend about 10 minutes on this part and then move into the rest of it. So now we have a three-part series already. Okay? On Bethel Church. And the first part, even though this is not what I've got in my notes, the first part is learning to be a disciple. Learning to be a disciple. A student of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes forsaking. And Jesus was not joking, and he doesn't need a retranslation to tell you when he's saying to you, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, and your own self, you cannot be my disciple. Do you know why he said that? Because our Savior, our God, knows that we like to put blood before we put anything else. There cannot be one earthly relationship that will stand between us and God. Not one. And I had a lady sitting right over there several years ago that I was just reading the scriptures, all I was doing, and she blasted me during the Sunday school lesson in front of everybody. And you know me, I picked up an offering plate and I threw it at her. Those of you who know me, what did I do? I just got real quiet and I bowed my head and I said, God, I was just shooting up flares to heaven. God, need some help here. She quit coming. Okay? Not only she was wrong in her spirit while the teaching was going on, she was wrong biblically. You know what she said? Well, I was always taught, you went to wrong school. I was always taught that family's first. That's not it. I love my wife and my children. I am not going to hell for any of them. I refuse. And I want my wife to love me, and I want my children to look up to their daddy. But I'm telling you, kids, if I run off the deep end one of these days, don't you follow me to hell. Don't you dare follow me to hell. Okay? Don't do it. Nobody, no earthly relationship comes between you and God. None. And if you have that situation in your life, you're going to fail the class. You are going to fail the class. Because I guarantee you the devil will take that and he'll use that until he's got you. And I've seen it happen here. Years ago when I was growing up, there was a lady came to this church. I mean, you could tell she just wanted to serve God. And her husband was a Roman Catholic, but it really wasn't her husband. It was her husband's mother. She began to work behind the scenes. She began to work in that marriage. She began to work through her son because she did not like this church. And she began to work. Jimmy, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Okay, I could point right to their house. I know right where they live. And before too long, it came to a head. And her husband said, you keep going over there, I'm leaving. And she quit coming. I don't know where she's at. I don't know what happened. That was, my goodness, 30-some-odd years ago probably. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to hell for anybody. I'm not going to hell for all the preachers that I'm friends with. I'm not. I'm going to pass this class. Okay? Those of you who studied and worked hard in a school setting, you could tell the bums sitting in that classroom didn't give a flip about what was going on. You know how you tell? Because you were sitting there at your desk. You were sitting there like this. And you're trying to take notes and listen. And the bums are sitting there like this. Am I right? They don't care. Okay? And you know what? I'm glad we don't have socialistic classrooms that says, well, if one passes, we all have to pass. Does that work?
No.
It doesn't work in a classroom, and it's not going to work in a country either. Okay? It just won't work. I'm not preaching so much grace this time, but I'm preaching personal responsibility and personal discipline. So forsake, get ready to forsake everybody. I don't say, didn't say you had to kill them. Okay? But you cannot let one person in this world influence you away from God. You just can't do it. And if you're doing that, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the Roman Catholic doctrine that says Jesus listened to his mother Mary and gave in to her, that's blasphemy right out of hell. That is blasphemy right out of hell. Jesus does not now listen to the Virgin Mary who you've prayed to, and the Virgin Mary says, "Son, don't destroy them, please. I love them." "Okay, Mom, I won't do that." That is not the Bible right here. Okay? So anyway, let's see here. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 31. Here I am teaching about discipline, and I'm going to let you out at noon. I ought to teach you about discipline and keep you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Brady's going, "Okay." First class is going to be easy. How's that? First class is going to be easy. Second class is going to be a little bit rough. Okay? John chapter 8, verse 31. How many of you there say amen? I'll get there in a minute. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If then," when I was in high school, I learned how to program a computer. And it was beginner's algebraic symbolic instruction code. It was called BASIC. You remember that, Jeremy? Okay. You remember the if then in BASIC programming, okay? And the computer would wait for you to press a key. Okay? Now, I want to educate some of you non-computer illiterate people out there, or computer illiterate people. When the screen says press any key, there is not a key on your keyboard that says any. Okay? Amen? There's no key on your keyboard that says any. What that means, in a generic term, it's okay if you press any key on the keyboard. Doesn't matter, because it's all going to produce the same results. Okay? And by the way, you push that little button, that deal that slides out there is not your cup holder. Believe it or not, somebody wrote into some of these big computer companies, their technical support. They said, "I got a complaint about my computer. What is it?" My cup holder broke. And it was the CD tray. Some of you are going, "There's a cup holder on those?" All right, I'll just throw that in there. The basic programming language, and I tried since then. I had an interest several years ago to try to teach myself, because I taught myself BASIC is what I did. And I thought, well, I'm going to teach myself C sharp. Okay? Or C plus or whatever it is. Nah, I am way behind the deal. But BASIC had a thing in it called if, and what that means is the computer's waiting for you to put something in. And it, when you hit a key, the computer's, the program says, if so and so presses a certain key, then go do this. Does that make sense to everybody? Because that's what computer's waiting on, a mouse click, or it's waiting for you to hit the right key or put in a number or type in a name. Google sits there and waits on you in an if-then situation. Google's not going to search for anything until you tell it what to search for. That is an if-then situation. So you type in, you know, going to Branson. Go to Branson. Type that in. And so Google says, if you type that in, then we will give you the results. Does that make sense to everybody? Now look at this verse here, okay? Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye do what? Because how many of you recognize as adults that you never get out of school? Amen? You're always learning something. You're always learning something about life or politics or religion or finances or cars. You never, ever get out of school. In Christianity, nobody has it all. I don't, you don't. Nobody does. The Pope doesn't. Billy Graham doesn't. Benny Hinn doesn't. Joyce Myers doesn't. In God's school, you never get out of school. You have got a choice. You either are a disciple or not a disciple. You either are or you're not. Okay? And he invokes an if-then clause here. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And what we see happening in all the churches is that the churches stopped continuing in his word. They put a stop to the word of God. And they brought in philosophies, movies, dances, wisdom of men, ecstatic experiences. All of these are a replacement of the word of God. But they stopped bringing in the word of God. And if they no longer continue in the word of God, then what does that mean? They're not a disciple. So if you show up for Jeffco and say, I want to take this class, okay? And they say, okay, you can take the class. Classes, how much does it cost for a class? How much? $85 a semester hour, okay? You show, I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, the semester hours are easy to pay for. It's that stupid book. It costs you a fortune. Now, that's a great class, man. It's a wonderful class. Okay, you sign up for it. Man, where's the book? You go to the bookstore. They got the books there. You open up that book. It's got a $400 price tag on it. Am I making that up? Those things are expensive. Okay? So you choke over the money, buy the book, get into the class, and say, you know what? I don't need this book. Sell it back to the bookstore. Get your money back. Okay? Invariably, half of what's going to be on that test is not going to be based upon the lectures that were given in the classroom. What are they going to be based on? The book. And you're not going to pass the class without the book. See, even the world knows this stuff, don't they? Even the world. Before they give you, Matthew's going to be 14 years old this year. In 2 years, he's going to be operating a massive murdering weapon called an automobile. And the laws of the state of Missouri said that before we can even let him touch the steering wheel, we got a book that we want him to read. And he's got to pass a test on that book. See, even the state recognizes this is right. Where do we get off as church people thinking that we're better than everybody else and we can just come in, sit down into class, listen to me lecture for about an hour once a week and go out and think that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? You're not. You're not. I wouldn't turn him loose on the road until he's passed the test. Think about it. Think about it. You've been trained, right, McDonald's? Passed the test, didn't you? And the test is based upon the manual. See, I keep going back to this. Everybody's job's got manuals, right? You're a contractor with H&R Block. Do they have standards that you have to go by to operate your business? Absolutely. Standards are written down. They're the rules that everybody has to abide by. We don't get just to make it up how we go. The sad thing is, people sitting in churches all over country and probably sitting here thinking they can make it up as they go. Or, I won't even attend the class. I'll just get the lectures on CD. Now, I don't mind passing out CDs and videos. That's what we do. Okay? But there is no replacement for being in the classroom and having the book. No replacement for it whatsoever. And he said, I didn't say this. This is what the teacher said. The rabbi. The schoolmaster. This is what the schoolmaster said. If you want to come to this academy, there are certain conditions. Number one, let everybody else go. Number two, you don't make the rules, we make the rules. Number three, there's a book required for this class. If you continue not in that book, you cannot be a student here in this school. Amen? Can't do it. I didn't make this rule up, God did. They sound good, right? Amen? Like I say, we accept that in every realm of life that we live, except here. This is the most important classroom that you will ever attend in your life. We have to follow the rules. John chapter 13. By the way, these four verses I've given you, God gave them to me, or God had me put them in my notes just this morning before church started. Okay, this is not the, I got two full pages of stuff I was going to preach here. So that's the second class. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if, what? You have love one to another. Okay? Who in here really, I mean, your high school was it when it come to sports. Who was like that person? You two boys? Okay. I started to say, because anybody that'd be proud of Grandview in sports, man, I don't know about that. I'm just playing with you, okay? Just messing with you. Brandon, you played football, right? And they let you play. They let you play for your team. Let's say that they were going to be playing Festus in football. And Festus was either going to go to the championship based upon this game or not. And Festus, one of the Festus coaches, got to old Brandon. Said, Brandon, they're going to put you out there on the field to play us. We'll give you some money under the table and a scholarship and all kinds of nice things if you'll throw the game for your team. You think that happens? Sure it does. Professional sports has got to be corrupt. We may not be able to see the corruption. That's why they will not let Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame, because they found out he was gambling on baseball and him being a player and a manager of a team at the same time. And he was gambling on the outcome of games. Okay? And I'm telling you, if Brandon did that and got caught in it, would he ever be able to go back and walk up and down the hallway of his school ever again? Brandon, would that happen? Listen, they'd thump him every time he got off the bus. He would have to go to Festus. Okay? But then what you are, you're marked now as a traitor. And who would have you? You wouldn't be able to play for Festus' team because you were bought on one team. Somebody else could buy you on from another. You see how it works? Okay? And here's what I'm saying. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Discipleship is about denying yourself. It's about denying all your earthly relationships and everything. It's about following in the Word. It's about discipline. And it's about loving the class and the school that you go to. And I'm one of these. I believe in school loyalty. I believe you go to school, you're loyal to that school. Okay? I was. I went up to Festus High School. Man, I don't think I ever one time cheered for the other team to win. I don't believe I ever did, Wayne. Okay? I don't believe I ever did cheer for the other team to win. And I'm telling you, I'm standing here in this high school right here, in this university, and I'm telling you, I can guarantee you, I am never cheering for the other side to win. I'm not. Because when the other team wins, we lose. And I love the people that I go to school with here, the people that I'm sitting here with. I love you enough to know I don't want to see you lose. I want you to win. I love you. I care about you. We're a family. We're together. We're a team. That's what discipleship means. And when you play on a team, there's nothing more important than the team. Okay? I'm going to close with all this. That's my four verses that God gave me an hour and a half ago. Okay? Now, next Sunday is lesson number two. And we're actually going to go back. We're going to look at this self-denial thing. And I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm waiting to see who's going to write it down. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm going to preach next Sunday, if God allows it. Okay? Because I had to run by the principal first. Okay? If the principal says we can do it, I'm going to preach next Sunday on prayer and fasting. Specifically fasting. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning of who has ever fasted. There might be some that have fasted for a day. I could ask you, have you ever fasted for 2 days or for 3 days? I'm going to show you biblical examples that people can fast anywhere from a day, sometimes 4 days, sometimes 40. Our teacher did. Our master did. Fasted for 40 days. Okay? Did not eat any food for 40 days. And you know what the Bible says at the end of that 40 days? You know what the Bible says about him? He was hungry. Imagine that. Jesus was not so supernatural in his fleshly body that he did not feel what you and I feel and go through. It wouldn't be fair, would it? And so your homework assignment is study everything you can from the Bible about fasting. Now, why am I giving you that ahead of time? What's the benefit of me telling you what I'm going to lecture on next in the next class session? What's the benefit of that? So you can agree. So that she'll know what I know and study these things and show yourself to be approved unto God. But I want to tell you something, okay? I want you to start asking yourself this week, what are the problem areas of my life? Now listen to me now, because I'm going to let you go here in a minute. What are the problem areas of my life? Where are the problems that are in my life? Okay? What are the sins I struggle with? Is there pride in my life? Is there something wrong in our church? Is there something wrong in our country? And I want you to spend this week asking yourself those questions. Okay? And when we ask ourselves those questions, how are we going to get them fixed? And I can tell you that we can get them fixed through prayer and fasting. Okay? We're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ here at Bethel Church. We're going to follow him. We're not going to follow anybody else. We're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't get into that. Had a hard time convincing him that one too. Okay? I'm just telling you, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And I don't know about you, but I want to pass the test. Because failure means what? Hell. It means hell. Discipleship is discipline. And we learn the older we get that we have to make ourselves do things that we don't want to do. But we have to make ourselves do them. I love you. I love you. And I want you to pass this test.